Good morning, everyone. My name is Swetab Patel. I'm a PhD student at Iowa State University. I'll be talking about integrating and managing oilseed cash cover crops in corn and soybean rotation system. In corn, we have a typical corn and soybean rotation, and where we plant the corn and soybean in May and then harvest it in October. And from October to next April, there's a period when there's nothing growing out in the field, especially because we have such a cold winter. And this is also the time when we have soil nitrate losses from the system. And this is a big concern because these nitrate losses, they enter into the water bodies and contaminate the system, the water system. So if we can integrate the cover crops into the corn and soybean rotation system, that would be a viable management practice to solve these problems. These are some of the benefits of cover crops that we are familiar with. They can control the erosion and improve soil health by adding organic matter. They improve infiltration and then suppress the weed by providing mulch. And they can take up the extra nutrients from the soil and prevent its loss from the system. And some of the cover crops can produce flowers in the spring, and they can provision pollinators and provide some ecosystem services. These are some of the potential issues in the adoption of cover crops. Cover crop management related to a cover crop, when to seed the cover crop and when to terminate them. These are some of the questions that farmers ask. And then potential corn and soybean issues following a cover crop. What would be the effect of cover crop on following corn and soybean yields? Is there an effect? And then the economics related to cover crop in terms of seed input and management strategies. Field pennycress and camelina are the oilseed crops that have potential to, that has a potential as oilseed cover crops. Both these are winter hardy cover crops, and that has a very short lifespan. And the short life cycle of these two cover crops provide us an opportunity to relay cropping with soybeans. And the relay cropping can provide an opportunity to extend the growing season and harvest for the profit. The objective of this study was to determine the optimum time for seeding and establishment of oilseed cover crops and to evaluate the effect of oilseed cover crops on relayed soybean. The study was conducted at Sorensen Research Farm at Ames, Iowa, and the predominant soil was clarion loam and nicolet clay loam. This experiment was started in 2016, and I will be presenting data from 2016 and 17. There were two rotations present in each year, corn followed by soybean, and soybean followed by soybean. The experimental design was a split plot with four replication, and the main plot was planting date with camelina and pennycress planted into corn in corn-soybean rotation at R4, R5, and R6. And in soybean-soybean rotation, they were planted at R6, R7, and R8 in soybean. Subplot was pennycress, camelina, and no cover as a control. Pennycress was planted at 15 pounds per acre, and camelina was planted at 10 pounds per acre. The plot size was 10 feet into 25 feet, so it was a four-row plot. So this is the timeline of what happened during the first 2 years. So we planted the row crops, corn and soybean, in May, and then in late August to mid-September, we planted cover crops into corn and soybean at three different stages. R4, R5, and R6 in corn, and R6, 7, and 8 in soybean. Then row crop was harvested in October, and the cover crop was continued to grow. And then in the year two, we relayed soybean into cover crops. The idea was to relay the soybean into cover crops when they start bolting, but due to the cold soil conditions, we have to plant soybean in the mid of May, and by that time the cover crops were already started to flowering. The oilseed crops was then harvested in the month of June, and then later in October, soybean was harvested. So in year one, we planted two crops and harvested one, and year two, we planted one crop and harvested two crops. So this table shows the effect of oilseed cover crop and seeding date on corn yield. Camelina did not affect corn yield, but there was a 6% reduction in corn yield with pennycress across the three seeding dates compared to control plot. Soybean yield was not affected by either pennycress or camelina, and it averaged 4.1 megagram per hectare. This graph shows the cover crop stand in fall and spring. So the brown columns are the fall, and I guess I missed the green. So green column is this cover crop stand in spring. On the left-hand side is cover crop stand in fall and spring following corn, and on the right-hand side is following soybean. So although there was a good germination of camelina from the first and second seeding date, but they did not survive by the end of the fall. So you can see there's hardly anything for camelina and from the first and second seeding date in both corn and soybean. But pennycress, however, did survive from the later two seeding dates, and there was a good establishment in fall in both corn and soybean. And camelina had a better establishment for the last seeding date in both corn and soybean. When compared to fall, the cover crop stand was reduced by 30 to 40% in the following spring for both camelina and pennycress. This table shows the cover crop evergrown biomass accumulation in fall and spring following corn. So in fall, there was not enough, I mean, the overall biomass production was low, and pennycress produced more biomass compared to camelina. It was almost three times more biomass compared to camelina. And same as in the spring, pennycress produced more biomass. And second seeding date was better for pennycress in terms of biomass accumulation and production, and the third seeding date was better for biomass production for camelina. Same as for falling soybean, second seeding date for corn, for pennycress was the highest producing biomass day, and in the spring, the pennycress produced almost four times more biomass as compared to camelina. This graph shows the green cover in the spring following corn and soybean. So we use Canopio app, which is a mobile app developed by Oklahoma State University. So you can just go into the field and take the picture, and it can process the photo right away and spit out the percentage green cover on the ground. So we can see that the percentage green cover was highest for pennycress from R5, and camelina from R6 provided almost 24% green cover. Following soybean, again, pennycress from R7 and R8 provided almost 36 to 40% green cover. And winter camelina provided almost 24% green cover. This table shows the effect of cover crop planting date on cover crop and planting date on soil moisture, spring soil moisture, sorry. So in the spring, there was no effect of pennycress and camelina on the soil moisture, and it was same for as in control, which was around 17 to 18%. However, at the time of cover crop harvest, we again took the soil samples and saw there was some significant differences in the soil moisture, and the soil moisture was reduced by pennycress and camelina when compared to control following corn. And following soybean, soil moisture was not affected by camelina, but it was reduced by almost 2% by pennycress. This graph shows the weed dry biomass at cover crop harvest. So at cover crop harvest, we also collected biomass of the weeds, and just to see how much weed pressure difference was there between the cover crop treatments. So for the seeding dates when we had better cover crop growth and establishment, they significantly reduced the weed pressure. And so pennycress from R5 and R6 were most effective in controlling weeds. And winter camelina from R6 also reduced the weed pressure compared to control. Following soybean, we saw the similar trend with pennycress from second and third seeding date were very effective in controlling this weed pressure, and they reduced weed by almost 80%. This table shows the cover crop yield in the summer of 2017. The overall cover crop seed yield was low when compared to some previous studies where cover crop was drilled. Pennycress produced almost three times more seed than camelina in both falling corn and soybean. I don't have the yield data from soybean, relay soybean from this year, but I did take some plant height measurements and number of nodes and pods from the relay soybeans. So plant height was not affected by either pennycress or camelina in both falling corn and soybean, but number of nodes and number of pods were slightly higher for pennycress and camelina when compared to control. So in conclusion, the interseeding of oilseed cover crops did not affect soybean yield. However, they reduced the corn yield. The pennycress reduced the corn yield by 6%. And later seeding date for pennycress and camelina increases the stand and establishment and biomass production. Pennycress and winter camelina can be effective in controlling the weed pressure when we have a good stand and establishment of both the cover crops. Oilseed yield of pennycress and winter camelina is maximized for the later seeding dates at R6 in corn and R8 in soybean. And we need some more research data because we are just in the second year of study and we are replicating the entire study this year, so we'll have some more data on it for the further years. And I would like to acknowledge my advisors, Dr. Andy Lenson and Ken Moore, and my project members from NDSU, Marisol Berti, from USDA Morris, Dr. Russ Gase, Heather Dose, my undergrads, Taylor Rett, Nicole Japp, and my technician, Roger and Luke. Thank you. So because they can, sure, yeah. The question was, what is the ecosystem benefits of these cover crops and why we are calling them cover crops instead of double crops? So one of the reasons we're calling them cover crops because they still solve the purpose of providing cover to the soil in winter, because these are winter hardy crops and they can survive the winter. And they can also take up, so we don't have the soil data yet from the lab, but from other locations, they did the soil analysis and they found that these cover crops were able to reduce the residual soil nitrate. So that would be one of the purposes of the cover crops. And the ecosystem benefits would be, you can see a pollinator insect on the flowers of camelina over there. So these are the first crops to flower in the spring. So they can provision some pollinators and provide some nectar for them. So that would be the ecosystem benefit of that.
You had tremendous variability in your plant stands.
Yes.
What was the reason for that?
Are you talking about the cover crop plant stand, right?
Yes.
So yeah, like I said, camelina did not survive from the first and second seeding date because I thought, in my opinion, because it was too early to plant camelina, and in the soybean and corn canopy, they did germinate, but because there was not enough light penetration, so they did not survive and they did die by the end of the fall. So that was one of the reasons for different variation in the stand count.
Thank you.